Today for our interview, we're welcoming Isabel, Brendan, and Tim, each from their own bands of Vista House, Baby Tooth, and Bori. Thank you all for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Hey. Yeah, appreciate it.
I'll give you all the opportunity. Just introduce yourself and just give me a little brief rundown of your band.
I'm Isabel. My band is called Baby Tooth. We have been around in different kind of iterations since probably 2018. And it has kind of sometimes been like a songwriting project for me and sometimes been a full band. Most of the time these days it's a full band, but yeah, we've done solo, duo, three people, four people, five people, and it's kind of indie rock music. Imagine that. Picture this. It's 2018, you live in Portland, you play the guitar, but not that well. You join up with people who play instruments better than you. You learn how to play better at your instrument. You play together and it's super fun. And you find out that it's like your favorite way of spending time with people that you like. And yeah, I have been in, like, fast forward a lot to the last few years where I've been in Minneapolis, Minnesota, doing a grad program and enjoying really different things about the music scene here, mostly making music with my partner who plays in a band called Soft Cheese, writes songs for that band and also plays in a lot of other projects.
All right, we'll do you next, Brendan.
I'm Brendan, and my band is called Bori. And we've been around. When did the first album come out? I think 2021, and so like about 5 years. I feel relatively new to Portland compared to a lot of people, but yeah, power pop band. And yeah, that's
All right, we'll go to you next, Tim.
Yeah. So my name is Tim Howe. I play in a band called Vista House. We've been in the Portland music scene since about 2016. Kind of like Isabel, a lot of different iterations, rotating cast of characters. I guess we're also kind of indie rock with some country twang. And so that's, again, imagine that, an indie rock band with country twang in Portland, but here we are. And yeah, it's been a fun ride. It kind of, my band started out of, I guess, wanting to split the difference between two of my other projects that I was in or leaving. So I was in a much more country folk project called The Golden Country, and I was in this pop punk power pop kind of band called Cool American or Cool Original. Around the time I left, they changed the name there, and I wanted to see if I could write songs that felt like it stood on the fence between those two projects, and thus Vista House was born. So yeah, we've been playing around the Pacific Northwest for the last 10 years or so.
Now I have our questions segmented. So first on my docket, I have you again, Tim. Just out of curiosity, the name Vista House, does that have any relation to the Vista House that's in the gorge?
It sure does. Yeah, that was kind of the main reason I called the band Vista House. I mean, first and foremost, I love the Columbia River Gorge, and it was this place that felt very mysterious as you drive by. It's like this big old, like, cement tower that overlooks the gorge, and it feels like it's been there kind of forever. So I really like the iconography of that place. But I'm from Central Oregon originally. I'm from Bend, which is kind of on this cultural and geographic fault line of the desert and the forest, and the Vista House kind of feels totemic of that idea as well. When you're standing up there, you look to the east and you see the You can almost see the desert. You look to the west, you can almost see the forest. And I started this band after living in North Carolina for a little bit, and I was at that kind of turning point in my life where I was looking to the east and looking to the west and trying to figure out what it all meant. And so the Vista House just felt like a good encapsulation of what my music wanted to feel like, standing kind of in between worlds. That's the poetic version. The most, simple version is that I like the Vista House.
That kind of took the words right out of my mouth. I had a couple questions relating just about the link between Portland and the Dalles and being in a scenic viewpoint that's kind of between both of them. Do you think that's
Yeah.
the main contribution to your sound, or was that just like the beginning idea?
I think that that's a huge consideration that I take when I'm writing my music is like the kind of music that I grew up around in a smaller, more rural, albeit like I always call Bend a suburb unto itself. It's a suburb with no city. And so that's kind of, I feel like that has really informed a lot of who I am, is like living in this kind of cityless suburb. But yeah, the east, like looking east into this kind of more rural setting has always informed the way I write my music. But Portland, more than anything, has been the big motivator for like how I approach working with a band and being in a music scene, and like where I find my current influences. And so I want to give credit to like kind of both horses in my chariot there. Yeah, I think that that's been a big part of what I like, how I approach my music. And my wife is from Joseph, Oregon, which is about as far north and as far east as you can get in Oregon. And so we always drive through the gorge to get there. And it always feels like I don't want to say like driving through time, but it definitely th feels like you're driving through an immense amount of space and like different ways of living. And so that's something that I like to think about a lot when I'm writing music.
Well, speaking of time, since you're the oldest running band in this group, I had some questions for you, darker questions, unfortunately, about how the music scene has changed for you post-pandemic as compared to prior to 2020.
Oh man, that's a great question. It's something I think about a lot, because when I first started playing music in Portland, I've been in Portland since about 2008. I went to school here, and I was playing in like some pretty junky little college bands, and then I was in this little country thing. I really found my people when I started playing with Cool American or Cool Original. Just because there was this a DIY ethos that I'd really jammed with, the idea that no one's coming to pick you up and put you onto a stage. You're going to do it yourself. You're going to load your own gear in. You're going to book your own shows, and you're going to get all of your friends to come to these things. And then in turn, when they have a band, you're going to go support them. And I just love that idea. And what I noticed kind of before the pandemic was that Portland, we are just an embarrassment of riches when it comes to music and genre and like different kinds of people trying to make different kinds of music. But there's like so many disparate scenes that don't really have this glue between them, this stickiness. Right before the pandemic, there were some moves being made that were very noticeable, not just to me, but other people playing in the scene, that was like, oh, like people are playing in different kinds of scenes and genres, and these bills are very like diverse I don't know, in an exciting way. And then the pandemic happened, and it took the dry erase board, just kind of like or took it all out. I've been very hopeful. Since the pandemic, looking at how bands work with each other, especially during the pandemic, there were some really cool things happening, trying to make music happen, if not in person, then online, and if not online, then from a distance. And there was a resilience there that I was really proud of. So I guess this is just a long-winded way of saying what I've seen is a lot of waves and a lot of iterations of people trying to make cohesion happen. And then something happening either internally or externally that kind of wipes it out. And that could be just people getting older and moving away from Portland. Portland's like this big, beautiful Greyhound station where people are always coming and going. And it only takes a couple of the right people leaving for a scene to kind of get wiped out. But there's always this cycle of people saying, no, we're gonna build this thing in a different way and make sure that, not just one kind of music is being played in this one place. More so, I've seen cycles than I've seen like a destruction or a full buildup of something new.
You all can contribute to that because I know you have all had either like prior to the pandemic or even post-pandemic, I'm sure you've still felt that in the scene. So if anyone else wants to chime in on that.
Yeah, I think something that really resonates with me that Tim said and that I feel like is sometimes overlooked about the pandemic is that weirdly for me and for a lot of people I know, I actually kind of look back on that time as being like very creatively fertile and productive because people were forced into creative solutions for these like huge problems, including like social political problems. I think like there were lots of recording projects and kind of like collaborative shared recording projects. Tim put together a great compilation cover series that was like a fundraiser for like really important causes at the time. And I did like a distanced, like, write 20 songs in a day kind of like activity with some friends. And we like shared them all, like bad recordings of them together. I guess that's just to say, I think there was like something lost and definitely something gained from that time. And I think it also sort of showed us like what our music lives would be like without things like shows and venues, which is that like, yeah, we would have to figure other things out and it would never quite be the same. So I feel like a renewed gratitude for just having this like full menu of like ways to connect with people musically.
Yeah, and I would say that, well, before the pandemic, I didn't really have like a project of my own that I was making songs in. I was playing primarily in other people's bands, and I think having that sort of pause button was what gave me the courage to even start Bori. Because I mean, I really did not see myself as much of a songwriter before then, and I'm slowly. I'm working a way around calling myself a songwriter now still, but yeah, at the time I wasn't really writing my own songs, and then all of a sudden there was nothing to do except, find those creative projects to put your time into.
Thanks for sharing that insight. Thank you, Tim, for answering my questions. So, Baby Tooth, I imagine there is quite the story behind that name. That one gave me some very interesting Google searches.
Yeah, sending love and light to you, to the version of you that's looking that up on like Google Images. I like actually don't like teeth and like the way they look and like what they are. Like it really freaks me out. But yeah, you'd think there was a cool story. It's kind of mostly like I kind of wanted something that was both like a little bit cute and a little bit menacing. Like I really like that juxtaposition. I don't think that Baby Tooth as a project is like working at all in like Twee or like Riot Girl like lineages, but I was like very inspired by that aesthetic of like cute and like weird and edgy at the same time. I think that's like always been kind of inspiring to me. So I was just kind of mashing words next to each other that were like cute and menacing for a while. I came up with that one and I was talking to my friend Jordan Vale, who's a jazz funk trumpeter, if you're interested in that. His project is awesome. And I was like, "What do you think about the name Baby Tooth?" And he was like, "I would scrap
Yeah.
that one." So thus my band was born. And I like that it is a thing that like a baby tooth is something, but that baby tooth as one word was not something yet. Yeah, it's interesting though, because I also think like no band name is perfect. I don't know anybody that's like, I am 100% happy with my band name. And I'm not 100% happy with mine, but I think it's doing what it needs to do for right now.
I noticed in your music you have a very like poetic, literature-esque essence, but you also have kind of that explosive charm, which I think you were just saying where you were inspired, at least in image, by a little bit of Riot Girl. Is that all that contributed to your sound, or how have you evolved over time?
Thanks for that very thoughtful question and the really sweet, like close listening to the music. That's very kind. I am a writer of other kinds of things. I have been in school for poetry, and I actually think of like poetry, and I write nonfiction also. I think of like literary writing and songwriting as actually like pretty distinct in my life. Not that they do not inform each other, but I think they just present really different kinds of challenges. Like I think for me, I always think of like a song as like the project is to make the lyrics and the music have a relationship that makes sense. And that is more important than, you know, like a poem is like a self-contained like verbal sculpture that needs to have everything contained within it. You asked also about like kind of influences, and I do find that to be like something that I don't think about all that much when I'm writing. I think about it a lot more when I'm maybe like producing, recording something and trying to get a certain texture. Like that's when I feel like I'll use maybe some like references. But a lot of my like writing life has kind of just come out of, I don't know, like journaling and kind of like narrowing those journals into things that aren't very narrative but are a little bit more like impressionistic. I do think that's like a word that I would use for my poems and my songs. I think like how I have changed over time has a lot to do with the people that I've been able to make songs with, to be honest. Like one thing I really miss when I'm writing poems or prose or whatever is the kind of inherently collaborative nature of music. Like, even if you are a solo project, if you want to do stuff like record, you probably need somebody to like mix and master it. You probably need people to help you distribute it. You definitely need people to help you book shows. And like, you are almost never like the only person working on the thing. And I think that's so cool. I think that's the biggest thing that's developed about Baby Tooth is that I've just kind of like deepened my relationships with other people artistically, and yeah, have been super lucky to meet some really, really talented people who have shaped my writing a lot. I think the honest answer about influences is that like the biggest influences have been the people in my bands and like my partner probably.
You said recently that you started making music with your partner. Do you do the same type of music as Baby Tooth, or is it branching into something different, or how is that going so far?
Yeah, something I love about my relationship is that we both are songwriters of like very different music. And that creates like really cool opportunities for us to help each other. So he is like an annoying person who can play every instrument. And so he plays drums usually in Baby Tooth, but also plays guitar and bass. And has played those instruments when we're like recording a Baby Tooth song. So it's more like he plays on my songs and I play on his. And his are much more shoegazy. They're a little bit dark. They're a little bit like reflecting on like power structures. They have like an ambition to them that I super admire, or I guess like just an expansiveness to them that I super admire. And so I have played bass on his songs. I've like taught myself at least a little bit about how to play bass for his songs, and then I'll sing with him sometimes. My music is a lot more, there's more of like a folk influence and more of kind of like a 2000s like radio rock influence to mine, and his is a little bit more fuzzy, shrouded, chorusy type of texture.
Thank you for sharing all of that.
Oh.
All right, Brendan, it's your turn. You self-described your music as power pop, and also that is what I have seen enormously online about you as power pop. So is this definitely like a label that you chose for yourself, or was this like something that just kind of happened for you?
That's a great question. No, it's not something that I chose for myself. I'm not entirely confident that I could tell you which bands are and aren't power pop. And I know enough about power pop and the particularity of its fans to try to define it publicly, or to not do that, I should say. But it kind of came up, I was playing in my friend Mo's band, and he's a really big power pop guy, and he was in my band when Bori first started taking off, and there was like a lot of influence, and so the power popness kind of rubbed off onto Bori. And it's funny that you asked that question, because I've talked to other people, and I think there's like an article in the Willamette Week that's like about how it was like Brendan didn't know he was making power pop when he released his album, which is like kind of embarrassing to admit to, but I can't deny it. It was something handed to me, and I'm kind of running with it, I guess. It's the easiest way to describe my music I've found, at least the most convenient label.
As someone like myself, I read power pop and I was like, I have no idea what this means. Maybe could you tell me like two things about power
Yeah,
pop?
it's kind of like people who are fans of pop music, like 60s pop music, like the Beatles or the Birds, and kind of like take that pop forward mentality in their songwriting and kind of carry it through. It's changed a lot throughout the decades. Like, I feel like the through line is like you have that pop song mentality when you're songwriting, trying to write something really catchy and quick. There's so many eras of power pop, but some bands that I'm into, like the Apples in Stereo, Teenage Fan Club, Super Drag, like those are some kind of like 90s era power pop bands that I'm into. And I'm also a huge Beatle head. I feel like you have to, if you're going to say that you write power pop music.
Okay, I just have a couple more questions for you, Brendan. I know I just put you on the spot a little bit,
Oh,
but
no, not at all.
so you just released a new album, Never Turns to Night. What was your inspiration for that?
I feel like up until recently, I have been really writing from like a song to song basis and not really thinking about like a bigger picture. And that's kind of what it felt like I did for Never Turns Tonight. But once the whole thing was together, it was very clear what was eating away at me. And I think it's kind of like a self-reflective album. I feel like a lot of the songs that I write are about myself and relationships with other people, and I would say like maybe the biggest theme of that album is kind of like my tendency to like shy away from conflict, for better or for worse, but probably more highlighting the for worse. Yeah, it's just a very self-reflective album for me.
That's a great segue because since your first EP Sideline debuted in 2021, how do you think in those 5 years you've evolved as an artist?
I think that, I kind of mentioned this earlier, but I spent a lot of that time like convincing myself that I could actually write songs. So like, as we all are with our first few songs, like I treated that EP very, and the songs very, they were very precious to me, And I think in the time between then and now, it's been a lot of like proving to myself that I won't magically stop being able to write songs and writing more songs. I think I've tried to be more prolific. Like in the past, like really relied on some kind of divine intervention or inspiration to strike. And I've been trying to take fate more into my own hands and just write more. I think that's like the biggest thing. I'm just trying to write more.
Well, that's great. I can't wait to hear what you produce in the future. But I think I love you, so I'm getting in the way. What a boring movie where you give up on the day. There's a lot of knowing and not knowing what to say. So you don't have to tell me. Up a good one from the greatest hits of town. Going back to Rockville to buy whatever they sell. I sound so convincing when I'm talking to myself. But we all need convincing. Getting sick of the same and old. Thank you all for sharing a little bit about yourselves and how you've gotten to where you are. Even though we've been talking about songwriting already a little bit, and it's kind of seemingly songwriting is a pretty big part of each of your bands, is it typically one person who creates all the lyrics and then the band works together to like collaborate on more of the elements, or is it kind of just like a collaborative effort between all of you?
I definitely fully write all the songs, but I do love like finishing them with my bandmates, if that makes sense. Like, yeah, I love to have like an idea and just play it together until it kind of becomes a song. I guess like writing the lyrics and like writing the song are maybe not the same thing. I fully write all the lyrics. I would say we like write the song together and that people are like writing their own parts and we're all figuring out like how fast should this be? Like how should the ending go? But I think about this a lot, and which to me it's like almost becomes an ethical kind of question, like how collaborative should creative projects of any kind be? And I don't know. Like, I think I kind of go back and forth with it being very helpful that there's one person for whom, like, the final decision, who makes the final choice about something. I think that can be really helpful. And in my band, that's me, which is really uncomfortable to say. But in other people's bands, it's them. And I think, like, everybody is okay with that. I would love to be part of a project that was just like, well, actually, I have been part of projects that were just like, let's jam and like see what happens. This is kind of a thing about music that sort of eats away at me sometimes and makes me feel like we love to be like, my band's not hierarchical, but like, yeah, dude, it is.
I think I take a similar approach to you, Isabel, where it's like I write the lyrics to the songs. I know roughly what I want the guitar to sound like. But I think that like I've always taken an approach with my bands that I want the final product to be the collective of like all of us and other people's opinions. And I think I'd love to be the kind of guy who could just say, this is what I want everything to sound like. I tend to take an approach where I come in with a really like core element, and then my guitar player Andy will say, well, I really want this riff to go in here. And I say, well, if you feel like this is a good place for it, then you should like that should be here. And then my drummer Al will say, well, I want this to be really simple, and then I can do a big fill here. And sometimes I'll have some things like you should put something in here, but for the most part, I really want it to be people are in charge of their own instruments, because it makes for my band, it has made it feel like the final project is outside of me, which is why I want to be in a band personally, is to play something that ultimately I can let go of and say it exists on its own. So yeah, that's my approach. But I would love to be someone who is like that kind of maestro of everyone. I'm just not.
Yeah, for Bori, it is very much just me. I write the songs, and usually when I give the songs to my bandmates, it's like a fully fleshed out demo with like all the parts and everything written out. But I have a really amazing band. Sonia plays the drums in my band, and she did the drums on Never Turns Tonight. And there's a little collaboration there because there's only so many fills I know how to do with my two fingers on my MIDI keyboard. But yeah, I'm wanting to, in the future, trying to open it up more to the band. I'm trying to like stop myself in the demoing process before I get too far, just to see how it goes, because I haven't really experimented with more collaboration yet.
What have you learned from working with other artists that changes the way that you create music?
I feel like playing music is basically my entire social life. Like, all of my best friends are the people that I play music with and or go see their bands. And so I think that the people that I play music with or have like in other friends' bands in the past plays a really big role on my influences. I mean, not even just like their music, but their taste in music, and like it's all really infectious. I think it's a cool thing.
I mean, very similar to Brendan. Like I've lived in P Portland a couple different times. I've lived in Portland while I was a college student. I moved away to North Carolina. I moved back, and like music like was my social scene. It was everything I did was because I had people I could play music with, or I could like celebrate their music with. And then I moved away again. I moved back to North Carolina for some reason. And when I moved back, it was similar but different. It was I had some new chapters in my life, but still, like I feel like my foundations all rest on my ability to connect with people around music. I mean, my favorite food in town are the places that are closest to my favorite venues, because that's where I've made those connections. And my best friends are the people that I've just either met at shows or played music with at different times, or have been like, the partners of people who play music. It feels like it's the absolute core of what it means to be a Portlander for me. Having that creative center has allowed me to be a whole human outside of music as well.
I really would underline that like music, playing music together is like a way of spending time with them. And I think it's like a different type of like connection and sociality. And I do think that for me has applied to other kinds of art as well. And it's really helped me. I guess this speaks more to like personal growth than like artistic growth, but I do think like being part of arts communities has helped me like understand that friendships can be more than just like talking to people and that like there's that like making things with other people can like very literally be like a template for like creating realities that you want to see like socially, emotionally, like it's such a powerful thing to do with other people. I just can never get over that.
Music is magic.
It is, dude. I believe that.
Since all of you have been enmeshed in the Portland music scene and in other music scenes, what makes the DIY Portland music scene different from the others that you've been a part of?
Okay, I feel like raring to go to jump in on this one because I have been spending time in this other awesome city. Minneapolis shouts out. But I don't think that people who live in Portland always understand how lucky Portland is just in terms of venue infrastructure. A lot of cities in America really don't have like cool small venues. Or they have like one, and it's like so oversaturated that the booking ends up being really exclusionary. But Minneapolis, there's this venue here called First Avenue, very famous. Prince played there, awesome, really cool place. The people who run that venue own like every single venue in the city. It is as if, it's like, it would be like if Mississippi Studios owned, which they own a few, but it would be like if they owned every single venue in Portland. And it's just a weird bad vibe. And I think that's why there's so much like animated contention in Portland around like the new Live Nation venue is because like this, it is such a special place to just go see shows. And I think like, you know, I can't speak for any other, I guess, like scenes by comparison, but I can certainly say that. It's like easier and more fun to book a show in Portland than it has been for like the last 3 years of my life in this other like very affordable mid-sized city, which I think like says a lot about just like what Portland has going for it. That's the thing that provides for all the other things to me.
I've done like just a touch of touring around the country, and so I've been able to play in like lots of different towns, and I don't really want to like try and hypothesize the difference between music scenes in different towns, because I'm of the belief that every single town in America, no matter how big or small, has, if not a music scene, has the potential for it. Because there's creative people in every single town in America. I do believe that. I've seen amazing stuff come out of towns with 1,500 people. But I think that, yeah, I'd say that the venue situation in Portland is pretty extraordinary. And not to say that other cities don't have this, but just the ability to say, okay, if we can't make this show happen at this venue, what are we going to do? There's lots of options. House shows are like a changing force in Portland. Used to be much more of a thing, but they still exist and had like serve a really strong purpose here. Or you can go see a show under the Hawthorne Bridge, or you can see a show, in an alleyway. Like the people just make things happen. My brother's a part of the noise music scene here. They'll just end up at like the end of a road and start like, I don't know, connecting pieces of aluminum and making haunting noise. And it's but it's like that's the kind of thing. It's just like there's this mentality that it's like, even with Live Nation trying to claw its way into the city, there's this the people of Portland say, well, actually, we're going to do this in a very specific way outside of the way that most other towns have relented. And yeah, I think there's a resilience to the music scene here, which kind of goes back to what I was saying before, these cycles of like building something and it being wiped out. It just comes down to the resilience of music, but people in Portland making music.
Portland DIY, like in spite of these like aggressive cycles that Tim is pointing out that I think are very real and can feel very tumultuous, like there is just something that is eternal about like people continuing to move here for that reason and then continuing to sustain it because there's this shared understanding that like DIY is forever and that like it's and that it's kind of the only way. Like there's there really I think it's like a shared value system almost, and it's yeah, it's really easy to take for granted.
I know we're talking about that music and creativity can be from anywhere at any time. But are there any particular venues, spaces, or events that are particularly important to keep what you would consider your scene alive?
The first one that comes into my mind is a place like Turn, Turn, Turn on Killingsworth, because it kind of encapsulates everything that we were just talking about, this idea of like a resilient spirit, a DIY ethos, making sure that like lots of different kinds of bands with lots of different kinds of followings get to come see a really cool show in an accessible space. So, and that's a place that has also kind of gone through lots of iterations. It used to be like partly a thrift shop. But like it finds its way every year. And that's one of those places that, I would assume coming from a place like Minneapolis or Dallas or New Brunswick, I don't know, I'm just naming cities now. They'd be like, oh, we don't have this specific thing here. It feels very specific to people of Portland saying, we want this and we value this. So yeah, Turn, Turn, Turn forever.
I do love Turn, Turn, Turn.
Turn is also the first one that came to my mind because it is almost like functioned as a symbol of exactly this resilience and like reinvention that we're talking about. I tend to try to not be super precious about the venues or spaces or even bands themselves because I think there can become a sort of like pearl clutching in that that can get you in trouble. As time passes and things inevitably change, I think like what I try to look for is just like the spirit of the thing. And I try to be like, I love like finding out about new things, which is happening to me constantly because I just moved back to Portland. So I'm finding out about a lot of like, because I'm also in like into literature stuff, I'm finding out about a lot of new reading series, a lot of new bands, new venues, new bookstores. And I'm kind of like, this is good too. Like, I think there's maybe a little bit too much of an obsession sometimes with like old Portland or kind of old anything. Like, that's we're living for the future, you know? We're not living for the past. And I think that is totally not to say that I don't support like keeping things alive as much as we can, but like there's also reasons for things to just end and regenerate.
That really resonates with me, like more so than the specific thing sticking around. The idea that new bands and new venues continue to move and like grow and change is the most important thing to keeping a scene alive.
Totally agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've been talking about this reinvention. Is that specifically what gets you excited for what the scene might turn into in the future?
I think so. I look at places like the Offbeat in Canton, where Friends of Noise have taken over the old strip club, the Dancing Bear, and turned it into Portland's only all ages space. And I think that's something that needs to be pointed out about Portland, is like that is something we are incredibly lacking, is venues for people whose like musical taste is being developed in real time. Like, when are you more excited about music than when you're like under 21? I can't think of a time a person who like didn't find something that like got in their system then. And we only have one venue in town that is for like fully all ages. That's wild to me. But to see that that is blossoming and succeeding, and like there's some really cool stuff going on there. It means that it can be a framework for how Portland can work with the city to make sure that liquor laws don't impede creativity. Those are the kinds of things that I would love to see in the future for Portland, is finding ways to make sure that creativity is not impeded by old ways of thinking, and that everyone gets to enjoy music at whatever age.
I kind of want to jump off of that just to add that, like, I have a vision for, like, well, this is not my vision, but I'm like, in the perfect world, to me, there would be more places to enjoy music in a way that's not focused around drinking. And that's like maybe kind of like also not focused even around nightlife, you know, like I'm kind of like I would love to see like shows during the day, or like also I feel like there are untapped opportunities for like cross genre, like there should be like an avant-garde filmmaker screening something while a band plays. People do that. I'm just saying, like, I want there to be some, like, across the aisle, like, music people and other kinds of creative people, because there's so many. And it does become, Portland can become very siloed. I know almost everyone I know in Portland has this experience of, like, stumbling across a community that feels like it's been there forever and that has a super deep, like, creative, collaborative event or practice, and you're just like, how long has this been here? Like, I want all those people to kind of meet each other.
I agree. I wish there were more opportunities for people to enjoy or participate in music without, the liquor attachment. My day job is I teach. I'm a private music teacher, and I have had so many amazing young musician students. And one thing that I'm always trying to show people is okay, the lessons and the learning music thing, this isn't the fun part. The fun hasn't started yet. Now you go out and you do it, you participate in music with others. And at times it really has felt like a big roadblock for some of my students, which is a bummer.
Well, let's move on to the Mississippi Studio show coming up. That'll be on September 9th. And I'm curious what you all are looking forward to about this show.
I am very excited to play with Bory and Baby Tooth, who have been two of my favorite bands in town for as long as they've been around, essentially. So the minute I heard Bory and the minute I heard Baby Tooth, I was like, oh, well, these are two bands that I'm gonna pursue to see as long as they exist. And to do that in a place like Mississippi Studios, which is it just really sounds great in there. It's kind of the I like idyllic place to play and watch a show. It's like if it's it's just feels like home in there when you're in Mississippi Studios. So I'm very excited about that.
I'll say, Tim, I'm excited to play with your band. I have missed so much in the years that I've been gone, and at the same time, this show makes me feel both like I've missed so much and that I've missed nothing at all, because these are also two projects that I've just been loving forever. And also, Brendan, I really like your guys' new album. I am
Oh,
psyched to hear those songs live
yeah.
because I haven't yet. Yeah, this is also Baby Tooth's first show back in Portland, and I think it's literally the best case scenario to be playing at Mississippi with friends, people whose music I really admire. There's just nothing better.
And I love both of you guys' music too. I've been aware of you guys for so long, so excited to get in the room and make some magic happen.
Yeah, it's gonna be great. We're working on getting ready for our next album. We released an album like a year, 2 years ago, year and a half ago, something like that. And we have a bunch of new songs, and we're going to be recording them in October here in Portland. And then we're going to figure out what to do with those songs, because I think that this is the album that I want to kind of put my whole self into, because I've been feeling as I get older, just like my ability to write a bunch of amazing songs for an album has slowed down. a lot. And so this is going to be the one that I'm like, well, I'm putting stuff into this one. So yeah, keep your eyes on the headlines and your ears to the ground, and maybe you'll get a new Vista House album.
I have kind of been doing other kinds of writing for a while. So I'm really trying to just write more songs. Yeah, really the plan at this moment is just to feel out like what Baby Tooth is right now and like what we want it to sound like and who we want to be on the next thing. I've been curious because our last record, which is like almost exactly 3 years old, because that last record was like pretty produced and we had like fun doing like studio stuff with it. I would really like to do the absolute opposite on our next thing and just like record something ourselves in our houses and just see what that feels like to get like way back to basics. But yeah, I would like to just like write a lot right now. That's what I am interested in doing, and then recording something in a really hands-on way is what's interesting to me right now.
I'm also writing a lot of music. I know we just put out the new album, but I'm already so excited for the next project. And I just booked the first session at Red Lantern Studios to get started. And yeah, oh yeah, and Bori's going on like a little mini tour down the West Coast at the beginning of September. This show would be kind of like, our return home show.
We've got like Isabel's return home after 3 years, and we've got your return home after like a week.
Three
It's gonna be
days.
great. Yeah, 3 days. Yeah.
Well, thank you all for being here. I really appreciated talking to you. So, one more time for the air, we have Vista House, Bori, and Baby Tooth here with us today with Isabel, Brendan, and Tim. Thanks so much.